Jeff here. Thanks for listening. Go to playvolutionhq.com/ccbag or click the link in the show notes for the show's archives, ways to connect, ways to support the show, information about happy hour, and more. I'm Jeff Johnson coming to you from upstairs studio in the snuggery along the Gulf of Mexico. With me, one of my favorite people on the internet, Tamar Jacobson. How you doing, Tamar?
I'm great. I didn't know I lived on the internet.
Well, I mean, that's where my relationship with you is. So, you know, that's...
Although I do. Yeah. I live on the internet.
Yeah, I think we all live on the internet to some extent. So we're recording this at 7:30 a.m. my time, pretty early. I saw you take a sip out of a mug. What are you drinking at this time of morning tomorrow? What's your
coffee?
Are you a coffee person?
Absolutely.
Is it just plain black coffee? You putting stuff in it? You got cream, you got sugar.
I've got a bit of skim milk in my coffee, but I have my favorite coffee shop about a mile away that I walk to every week or sometimes two or three times a week. And I have a cortado, which I like very much.
I have no idea what that is.
What are you drinking?
I'm drinking tea with a teaspoon of whole cream.
Oh, that sounds lovely too. A cortado is like a latte, only it's much smaller, and I think it has a little bit more, maybe two shots in or something. Espresso. It's quite strong, but it's got milk and it's lovely.
Got to get your caffeine fix. Yeah, I like
cortado.
That. Yeah. I like my cream. I had to start measuring out my cream though. I was drinking too much cream. That's a lot of calories. So I had to start measuring it out. So tomorrow we're going to jump into, I pulled a quote from Tamar's book, Don't Get So Upset. I am making a note to put a link to the book in the show notes. Listeners, you can check there to see if I actually remembered link to book. And I thought we could use this as a jumping off point for a conversation, something I've been thinking about lately. And so the quote is, many girls are fearful of expressing aggression, as they are taught early on that aggression is only for boys. I often wonder what girls can do about their anger if they are never allowed to express it. And then I remember the ways I have always dealt with mine, through migraines, crying, or a sore stomach. That's kind of a heartbreaking quote, because that reminds me of a lot of women that I've known and met, but also probably a fair number of boys. I think we're living in a world where maybe boys aren't even allowed to express their aggression as much as they would maybe like to, because aggression and anger, those are those hard, messy feelings that adults get uncomfortable with, and kids are kind of taught to keep to themselves. So where should we start our conversation?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I think what I'm referring to about girls, and I'll get into that, and boys, when we go to boys, is the emotion of anger, the feeling of anger. Somehow we're much more accepting of children's feelings if they're happy, or if they're, and even then, if they express joy too fervently, we kind of tamper that down too. So any kind of, you know, overwhelming emotion, we seem to repress. But anger, yes, is a particularly difficult one, because most of us have not been allowed to be angry when we were young. And actually, it's a really important emotion. The aggression part usually comes if we don't allow them to express their anger. And so there's a different way of expressing anger that doesn't necessarily have to be aggressive. It could be just stating it, actually,
So
or
how are
punching a
we
pillow or something.
defining aggression? Is that an expression of anger
Yeah, that's
or
interesting. Because I wrote that book when 2008. There's so much aggression I feel out in the cybersphere lately. Aggression, I think, is something that we think of as violent. I think maybe assertive is what I would have written now.
I think of myself, and I think as a kid, I was probably angry and only mildly aggressive as a young kid. And then in like middle school, high school years, some of that aggression was out. But I think my brain was full of testosterone then, and so that's squirting around, and I kind of think adds to that. And then since then it's kind of depleted. I think all of my anger and aggression now is mostly mock. I voice all kinds of anger and aggression towards things on this podcast, for example, but it runs very, very shallow. So I think that's been the trajectory for me. What was it like for you?
You mean sort of passive?
Passive? No, I just don't think I've got, I think as I've gotten, I have more power and control over my life, and so I really don't have much to really be angry or aggressive about anymore. I think when I was younger, I didn't have a lot of power, I didn't have a lot of control, I didn't have a lot of agency, and I think though I think there's a connection there.
Oh, for sure. I mean, one of the big things about being a child is that you have no control over your life at all. I mean, in big things, like if people die or get divorced or move to different places, you just have to go along with it. And quite often, because you're still in egocentric stage, you think it's your fault and you don't really know what the heck's going on. So you're w without control. Also, the world is so adult focused, so it's not focused for children, really. So children sort of have to kind of adapt and get by uncontrollably. I think we're steering away a little bit from the quote, though, because the
Let's get
quote was
back to that.
about girls specifically. And it's funny, I was at I'm in a book group, which I hate. I hate being in a book group. Not the people. I like the people a lot, but I don't like having to read the book that everybody wants to
So
read.
you are in the group for the people, not for the book.
Yeah, absolutely. No question about it. Sometimes I like the book,
Is
though.
there wine at book group? What's the
No,
book group
maybe
situation? No, it's a
that would
very,
help, maybe.
I think most book groups I've heard of, there's a free-flowing amount of wine involved. Maybe you need to bring a bottle next time. Maybe
I
they'll
don't know what book group you're talking about, and certainly not in my age group.
Well, okay. I drove us off topic again. Go back here. So you're in the book group.
But they were talking about different books that they had read, which were sort of historical novels about women in the late 1800s. And there were asylums for women who would argue with their husbands or be over expressive, and they'd be put away. The husbands would put them away. And we were talking about that, also about how even earlier on, women were called witches if they were creative or outspoken or whatever. So I think it's been in history for a long time that women should be docile and should be obedient. So it's now, of course, it's very different in America or the Western world, not in not in many countries of the world. Women are covered up and quiet, and if they're going to be any kind of expressive, they'll do it quietly in their home with their children or whatever. But here we can't sort of imagine being put away for being creative or expressive, or I mean the suffragettes, it's only what, 100 years ago?
Barely 100 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, it's not a long time. So that kind of cultural force that women have to be docile and sweet, and accepting and tolerating and obedient, mainly obedient, that's been in our culture for a very, very long time. So I was thinking about that because you had told me we were going to talk about the subject. So in that sense, I think that boys have been allowed to be more assertive than girls through the ages.
Through the, yeah, historically, I agree.
Yeah, and I think I know when I first came to America, I'd sort of been living in Israel for 20 years, and I was quite outspoken, really, at the college level. And there was a professor who called me a bitch because I was that way inclined. I mean, I didn't do anything to hurt this man or anything, and somebody told me he'd done that, and I was really alarmed. But I think women suffer from that. They have to be very careful.
Is this guy's not still around, is he?
I don't know. I haven't been there for so long.
Well, when you log off, look him up. I got a couple things I'd like to say to him. I don't like that. Well, I mean, you mentioned witches before, and that's the terminology has changed from witches to bitches
Right.
for that type of woman. And I
Right.
mean, that's kind of the way it is. And I agree historically. I mean, women and children were expected to be seen and not heard, and quiet and docile, and I think the last 100 years we've seen a big change in that, and that's it's but it's still
Hopefully.
probably going on, and probably more in the Western world than we'd probably like as well.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And I think it affects when we're working with children, that we might be more inclined to be very pleased when the girls sit and draw hearts and stuff like that and do the quiet, lovely things, play with the dolls and so forth. And actually, if I could edit that book now, I probably would use the term assertive rather than aggressive in that quote, because I think that's what I meant. It's funny that how things change, you know?
Yeah, that's why I don't like that's why I like blogging better than books, because you can go back and edit yourself when you have those changes. Other books,
Yes,
they're
yes.
just kind of done.
I hadn't
But
thought
yeah,
of it though till this podcast, actually. Kind of interesting.
that assertiveness, I think, across the board, like the strong emotions, is something a lot of early learning settings. I mean, it's not something we cultivate in children. It's something we try to prune back instead of something we
Absolutely.
try to nurture. And I think that's a problem. It makes kids easier to manage if we can prune out their assertiveness. But I'm not, as a society, I don't know if we want a group of adults who don't have any assertiveness and don't want to stand up
Right.
for what they believe and what they feel. And so, but again, there are probably people that would prefer having adults that are e they're easier to we're easier to herd when we
Oh,
don't have our own
absolutely.
opinions and strong takes on things. And
To manage, easier to manage. I'm putting this in quotes with my fingers.
And so that's and it almost seems like our education system is set up for making that happen, which is why I like to see more homeschooling and other alternatives going on. But what should we
Well,
back to the oh, go
For
ahead.
quite a while, schools were to turn out good citizens to do good work. So, sort of, they were sort of made into like factories that you can test to see if the product is approvable. You know, so we have that in our culture. We have that institutionalization of education in our culture. That's very, very tricky to deal with. Plus, we've all been taught to be very uncomfortable with anger. Whereas, you know, anger is actually a productive emotion. It's if you can direct it in good ways, we wouldn't have had civil rights or suffragettes or anything if there wasn't anger, because you have to be angry if someone's standing on your toes and hurting you. You want to be able to say, please stop doing that to me. It's It's that we don't allow ourselves even to hold still, just to feel it. Sometimes we're not even allowed to feel it. You can't be angry, but what are you supposed to do? It's one of the human emotions. So what do you do with that feeling? Where are you going to put it? So it's so important to just be there with a child who is angry, and not allow them to hurt others or themselves or so forth, but to just hold still with it. And say, I'm right here with you. Like when they're tantruming, that's a big topic, actually. That when I have time to do a full day workshop with people, I can really go into tantrums and how we could work with that really, instead of stomping it out.
I think another piece of that is a lot of the activities kids are drawn to that allow them that emotional release are made taboo or outlawed in early learning programs. I mean, rough and tumble play and superhero play and a lot of those kinds of play are ways for kids to express that aggression, that strong emotion, and we ban those as well. So just allowing for those kinds of play, my experience is you reduce the number of those emotionally chaotic experiences kids have because they have their own natural release for it. They have power and control.
Yes, and play gives them that. So to take away the play, you've taken away even one area where they could finally feel that they can feel those things and express those things in a safe kind of format. I know it's child abuse, I think, to take play away from children. I mean, that's what I call it.
And would you agree, thinking about the average childcare or preschool schedule, would you agree that the more transitions there are in a day, the more angry and aggressive children you're going to have
Oh,
in the room?
absolutely. And plus those ridiculously boring circle times where they talk about the weather and calendar endlessly. I mean, just don't get me started on that, It drives me insane. First of all, it's not developmentally appropriate. A 3-year-old could care less about which day it is. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to them. That time is just, they're timeless, they're right in the moment. They don't care. It's when you ask them, what did you do at school? They can't remember. It's gone. It's
Yeah.
finished. It's over.
It's
It's not
not now, so I don't care.
So they have to sit there for 20 minutes discussing what day it is. It's just so ridiculous. If I was a child, I'd be pinching the person next to me. I'd be tearing my hair out. And then
Maybe.
they go on to the weather. What's the weather? I want children just to yell out, go to the window and have a look. I mean, what is your problem? Why do we have to keep discussing the weather? It's some weird thing.
Maybe that's the reason I'm not as angry and aggressive as I used to be. I don't have to go to any boring meetings now. I spent a lot of my, I mean, back in my center director days, there were a lot of meetings, and I'm like a 3-year-old. If I'm required to sit through some boring bullshit, I get angry and aggressive, and so maybe my lack of meetings. The only meetings I have now are probably via Zoom with people like Tamar here, and they're delightful. So I only have delightful meetings in my life now, and that's kind of nice. So that might play a part.
The brain is slightly alert at meetings because mostly people are sort of looking around, seeing if other people approve of my ideas or approve of me in general. So there's this kind of am I good enough going on all the time. And Bruce Perry, my guru about brain development, who I just love. He always says, you're never going to have a good idea at a meeting. You'll have it in the shower or when you're going for a walk, when your brain is resting and can, think about things. But at a meeting, you can't think about things. So you're sitting there and it's so boring. And you're also trying to sort of please everybody. And so but at the end of it, what have we achieved?
So tomorrow, what I'm hearing is that you're suggesting all meetings should be held in the shower.
Absolutely.
Conference rooms should be converted into big showers where
Yeah, or jacuzzi, a
everybody strips
jacuzzi.
down and grabs their loofah, and that's how we start having business meetings.
Or even a jacuzzi so that you're getting your back warmed and you're all just sitting around. I bet you we'd have much better ideas. We'd all be
I think that's
relaxed.
probably a good idea. I could go for that.
And we all look wet and disheveled, so that we don't have to all be all looking good and stuff like that.
Everybody gets all pruny fingered and everything. So I wanted to touch on the migraines, crying, and sore
Yeah.
stomach. Was that really a thing for you?
Oh, sure. I mean, I've been in therapy all my life, and it's been wonderful for me to learn about myself in ways. Of course, sometimes it's painful, of course, but I have realized that I often get migraines when I'm angry about something, but I'm not aware of it, and it sort of comes a bit later. Oh, I was angry about that. I should have said something, or I could have done something, or why didn't I? Da 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 da. So I made those connections. But I sometimes in workshops when I ask women, because sadly in early childhood there's lots of women in my workshops, maybe one or two men. A lot of them say they get headaches and when they're angry or they cry. I mean, crying it is a in that regard is like a frustration, really. I can't get the words out, or the words that I want to say maybe are going to be the wrong kind of words to say. So I'd rather sort of repress it and cry. I have learned that over the years that a lot of women do that.
Yeah, I think the sore stomach is a real big thing, and I think there are plenty of boys that go through that too. It's just you've got all that strong emotion built up inside of you,
Right.
and it just kind of centers there like barbed wire and butterflies in the middle of your belly,
Yeah. Oh, what an expression. That's so perfect, Jeff.
then you're well, thank you very much.
It
But
is
yeah,
barbed wire and butterflies. Absolutely.
it's just all fluttering around, and then but beyond that, I tried to look up the stats before we started. I couldn't find any newer numbers, but in addition to that stuff, there are what, 2 to 3 million, mostly young women in this country between the ages of like 13 and 20, who are intentionally cutting themselves and
Right.
self-harming as ways to deal with pent-up anger and aggression. And I mean, you can probably lump in prescription and illegal drug abuse, and you can
Right. Yeah.
lump in early drinking and
Yeah.
promiscuity and what else do we get? We can add to that list. There's so much other stuff going on. Probably eating disorders, probably that
Yeah.
stem from there. That's a really hard way to go through life.
It comes from the significant adults in children's lives who are uncomfortable with it, with emotion in general. And I like to say in general because I've seen so many times when children are really jubilant and expressing lots of joy and running around and yelling, and it's not with anger. Adults get very uncomfortable with that too, like you said, with the rough and tumble. There's something about just temper it, keep it down. By the way, there's other research that I don't know if I quoted it in the book. I'm not sure. I might have mentioned it in my first book, Confronting Our Discomfort About Bias. There was research done that m most mothers are okay with their daughters being feisty and exploring and so forth until they get to about the age of 11. And then as they get into being teenagers, mothers start saying to their children, you must be a little bit more demure, tone it down. And so the what you were talking about, the early teens as being very complex for girls. Is because they had been allowed a little bit to express themselves. But when they get older, mothers start to say, so that they won't be called a bitch later on. I mean, they're not saying that in those terms, but they're doing it to protect their girls. You know, you can be creative and assertive and whatever, but not too much, you know, that kind of thing. It's tricky.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that, but that's probably true. And then you mix that with all the hormones, and that becomes a real tough piece of life.
Yeah, but you know, I would say that you're right about boys too. In general, most certainly in early childhood, there's mostly women educating young children, and they are uncomfortable with all those tough emotions of all kinds, and a lot don't really know what to do with boys. And boys are different to girls; they do have different needs. I have a very close friend who's teaching second grade in a public school. She has a tiny room, 12 children, only desks and chairs. They don't have any outdoor time all day long. And she says the children are going crazy in that room.
Sure.
Absolutely crazy. She does things with them. She brings stuff and has them paint and all sorts of stuff. So far, she hasn't gotten into trouble from the administration. But what we're doing is child abuse. It's criminal. And it's happening not just there, in many, many places.
It is, and I agree about the young boys spending time in early learning programs where staff is predominantly women. I think that plays effect, but on the other end of it, at home, there are so many of them that don't have a father figure, a male role model in their lives. Or I mean, and for boys and girls, there are I mean, way too many young kids who have the males in their lives are predators, and it's a really fucked up situation. I don't know how we fix it.
I know, you know, I'm becoming more and more philosophical the older I get. And just, you know, trying to make my mini universe and maybe podcasts or presenting when I can, or maybe writing another book. I so believe that the way young children have been treated is the reason our world is in the state it's in. I believe it with all my being. And until we understand that, I don't know what hope there is for humanity. And it sounds very dismal, but it also kind of relieves me of pressure because I just sort of feel like I'll do good where I can and enjoy my day. But I don't know how else to change this world because I believe with all my heart that children have been treated badly.
Yeah,
Are being, not have been, there
have
are
been are,
being treated
but
badly.
the have been, that's where I find a tiny bit of solace, because although it's not great for children in a lot of situations in 2024, 1424 was probably worse.
Oh, I agree with you. Well, actually, I don't
So
know. I don't know because in 1424, they might have been in communities. And so, in communities, they had a grandmother and an aunt. And if mom and dad were pummeling them, they could go somewhere else. I'm
yeah,
not sure.
50 plus percent were dying before they reached adolescence.
That's true.
So, I mean,
That's
life is
true.
not, if you don't make it to adulthood, I mean, it's not too good for you. So
No. And you know, in my community, luckily, there's lots of young families and they're wonderful with their children. They carry them on on their backs and on their fronts and
yeah.
I think, you know, a lot of my generation feel like they overindulge their children, but I don't think that at all. I think it's better. It's a lot better. Of course it is. But I think that a lot of the violence and aggression and problematic stuff is people who've been really hurt as young children and take it out on the world.
I said a little bit ago that I don't really have a lot of anger in me nowadays, and close listeners to this show might want to call me out for that, because recently I've been talking about my new arch enemy, Tamar. I have an arch enemy now,
Yes.
We've had a new neighbor move in above us here at the snuggery, and my arch enemy is apparently a 9-ish-year-old girl who likes to play her music loud when apparently she's home alone after school and in the evenings. And so recently there's thumpa 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 coming through my ceiling, and I'm kind of annoyed. And again, my anger is fleeting and very shallow. And also I try not to be an asshole. I mean, I try. And so it'd been going, I mean, every once in a while you turn up a song and you like it and you turn, okay, but this has been going on for a long time. And I boom, 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 boom up the stairs, and I bang, bang, bang 3 times on the door, like a cop. It was a cop knock.
Yeah.
And that pretty much dissipated my anger, because I don't want to scare this kid. I don't want to be mean, but I want her to turn the damn music down.
Yes.
And then she opened the door, and look, I've met her before. She likes my dog. She seems to be a sweet kid. And she first she opens the door, and I want to scold her for opening the door, because you shouldn't, if you're home alone and you're 9 years old, you shouldn't be opening the door when somebody knocks on your door, especially if it's an angry knock. And I wanted to I want and so I'm as nice as I could be. I'm like, does the music need to be that loud? And she's like, oh, sorry, my bad. And she turns it right down, and it's quiet for the rest of the evening, because just the knocking dissipated all the anger I was carrying. And how can, okay, here's where I need your help tomorrow. How can
Don't
I
know if
make
I can.
this evil, evil little child, who has no respect for my ear holes, keep her music down without being a jerk about it? What should I do tomorrow?
You don't sound like a jerk. I
Oh,
mean, knock, knocking
okay.
on the door, maybe you could knock a less d hard, but then she won't hear you.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
You're feeling the anger when you're knocking on the door. She just hears a knock on the door because the music's so loud. If you
Yeah.
would knock quietly, well, I doubt she'll hear it.
Probably not. The music was pretty loud, and the lyrics, I can't quote any of the lyrics that I was hearing through my ceiling on this podcast, because then I'd get canceled. So,
Well, you say enough things that could get you canceled.
Well, yeah, so you gotta know the lyrics are pretty bad. If Jeff is unwilling to repeat them.
She doesn't have AirPods.
I mean, somebody suggested, Stephanie suggested that I think it was Stephanie that suggested I get her some ear pods. But look, I can't go around buying presents for random 9-year-old girls. That would be problematic, I think. So,
And
I don't
talking to her parents, impossible.
I think there's a parent. I think she's got a mom.
Right.
Yeah, I could, but look, here's my thing. Also,
No, your thing is your discomfort with your anger about her. That's what you're talking about.
I also like personal liberty and freedom, and I feel like I'm infringing on her rights to live her own
No,
life by
but she
wanting to
has
be a
to
little bit
learn.
quieter.
She has to learn that in society you have to consider others. She has to learn that. Otherwise, we can't have a democratic society if we don't consider others.
But what if the music is her way of venting and letting loose and dissipating some of the aggression and stuff she's got
Yeah.
from her day at school,
Yeah.
and then this jerk downstairs is complaining about it, and then she stops playing the music loud and then starts cutting herself, and then that's all my fault. What if that happens?
That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen just to turn down the music.
I
Your
mean, we don't know.
what you're talking about is your discomfort with your anger about it, because you just want to be accepting of everybody. But that's not reality at all. I mean, I also want to be accepting of everybody, but if somebody stands on my toe and it hurts, I want to say, stop it. And that's okay to do that. It's just how you do that. It didn't sound like you banged on the door when she opened it. You said, hey, you stupid kid, put the thing down. You didn't do that.
No, I didn't do that.
So you
No.
weren't being horrible. You were just saying, you know,
Okay.
I also live here and it's I'd like some comfort too, if you don't mind. And you could maybe say it differently so to make her learn that. You could even say, I'm really sorry to bother you, but this is too loud for me. If you could just turn it down. So she could learn, if you could add some information, because
Yeah,
she's
well,
nine.
it has. I told her it was bothering the dogs, and
Oh
that is
my
true. That,
goodness.
well, no, it's true. The dog. I mean, they're kind of walking around looking. What the? Because no, it was bothering
Yes.
Slinky Dog more than it was bothering me.
That is a total cop out.
No, that's totally true. You got to spend some time with my dog. These are they're. I mean, they're deathly scared of thunder and fireworks this additional noise is going on. No, it's. You're a cat person. You don't know about dogs.
My theory is that you are uncomfortable with your anger about it. And honestly, that's the issue. That's the issue. We've been taught to be uncomfortable that we have these feelings, which we have a right to have. The only point is how to express them. That's what early childhood people should be helping children with, not getting rid of the feeling, but how do you express it? And you can't, in my humble opinion, which my son says I've never had a humble opinion. In my humble opinion, if we're not understanding where we got our biases from, how on earth are we going to be able to deal with it? I mean, and I'm talking about bias in terms of emotion right now. If I
Sure.
don't work on myself and understand that I'm uncomfortable with my anger, I'm not going to be able to help a child hold still and learn how to express themselves through their anger instead of hurt themselves or hurt others or whatever. So
So you're saying next time I should really vent the anger and not be nice when I talk to her. I should
That's
really
not what
let
I'm
her have
saying.
it. Oh, is that
I'm
what you're
saying
saying?
no. I'm saying you should hold still with your anger for a minute and think, why am I so uncomfortable with my anger? It's okay that I want her to turn that music down because we all live here together. And then you go up and knock on the door and you say to her very nicely and firmly,
I think I'm pretty comfortable with it.
well, it doesn't sound like that to me. You say, I don't want to be an asshole. I don't want to be a jerk. You've got all
Well,
kinds of
I mean, do
terminology.
you look, I we can't all be tomorrow. I mean, I'm sure you're totally comfortable with being an asshole and jerk, but
Absolutely not. That's why I get a migraine. Absolutely not. I'm working on it just like everybody else.
when was the last time you were angry?
Oh, wow. Quite recently, I'm sure. I mean, living with someone is not easy. I'm sure I've been angry a number of times. Even like, we have downsized and we're living in a condo now instead of in our lovely big house that we used to have. And I love the place where we live, but the kitchen is so small. And, I go to open the fridge and my husband comes to open the fridge at exactly the same time. I mean, I get so angry. Like, can't you see I'm opening the fridge? I don't say it anymore at all, but I sit quietly and think, okay, it's all right. You'll learn to go to the fridge at a different time and he'll learn to go to the fridge at a different time. So I'm holding still with my anger. I'm not expressing it all the time.
Maybe you need to hip check him next time. Just boom with your hip and knock him out of the way.
Well, we do that too sometimes, but then we
Or
start laughing.
maybe he's making a move on you. Maybe he's wanting to get romantic and he's like, okay, she's at the refrigerator and I'm going to go to the
That
refrigerator at the
would be
same
so
time.
cool. I'll suggest that next
Yeah, maybe. I mean, maybe there's just maybe he's putting out signals you're not picking up on tomorrow.
It's very possible. Oh my goodness. Of course, I have felt anger quite often, of course. I feel angry
So,
when I text my son and he doesn't answer immediately. Of course. I mean, we all feel anger often on all day long.
let's get back to the kids in
Yeah.
early learning settings. What should we be doing to be more supportive of helping kids have these strong feelings, whether they're the quote unquote negative feelings or the positive feelings like you were talking about earlier. Because I totally agree that strong emotion on either end of the spectrum gets tamped down And that, I mean, I think tamping down the positive stuff is just kind of tamping down the joy of life too. So there's lots of negativity there.
Absolutely.
As well. So what ideally, what would an early learning setting be doing in your unhumble opinion?
Well, so I'm not going to say first of all, but along with anything that we're going to be doing, I feel that we should be also understanding ourselves in this situation, and that maybe we don't have the time at that moment to do that, but
sure.
certainly to go home and think about it, or to step out and ask a person with you, can you just take over for 5 minutes while I just breathe? And then I think, if I was a child in this classroom, how would I like to be treated? And then I come back into the room with quite a different feeling about what to do. I think that accompanying any strategy, we have to understand ourselves, because there's also culture here involved, like a more stoic culture. My husband's father's family comes from Norway, and they're stoic. So emotional expression isn't that easy for people who are stoic on either side of the spectrum. As you say, like I can come home to Tom and say, you know, we just won $6 million. And you go, oh, that's nice. You know, it's a stoicism thing. So, and then there are cultures that are very flamboyant and expressive and so forth. So we have to know what we accept or what we feel comfortable with before we can even, or during our strategies that we choose. So I could give advice, but it's not going to work for everybody. I mean, I've learned over the years just to hold still with children. So I might not do anything. I might just sit with them. I might take them out of a situation, of course. Not isolate them. Never. I never do that. That timeout thing where they'd have to sit alone and think about it, I would hate to know what they're thinking about.
Yeah.
I mean, I've interviewed children in timeout, and it's really awful. They don't know what the heck they're sitting there for, most of them.
Well, I mean, they're just sitting there quietly reflecting on the bad thing that they did, aren't they? I mean, that's what they're supposed to be doing. So
they don't even know they did a bad thing at that point at all. They usually think it's someone else did it to them. And some of them are literally plotting. I had a little four-year-old girl who said when she was big, she's going to bring a machine gun and come and kill everybody. I mean, she was plotting. She wasn't sitting thinking the thoughts we want them to think. So I would take them out of the situation, but I'd be with them. And I wouldn't be saying, oh, it's not nice to say that, or oh, it's not nice to say that. I would just sit with them and listen in a safe spot, and maybe at the end hold them and hug them and say, I'm so glad you've told me all those things. Or, I mean, there's a whole lot of things, steps I would take.
Yeah.
But that being there with them, holding still and not leaving them through it, because very often it's tantrums that we're also thinking about.
Yeah.
You know, a tantrum is, they're so out of control. There's no way to get them in control. You have to just let them work it through with love, honestly, that it's okay to go through this and I'll stay here with you. You know, it's a bit therapeutic, and I know not everybody has the time or energy or comfort to do that kind of thing, but I think that's what people need.
And yeah, the energy piece, I think, I mean, one of the big things, and I mean, it's a soapbox I'm always standing on, is caregivers need to spend more time on self-care. So they when they're in the room, they are able to be in the room. Their minds aren't drifting around dealing with other things in their life. And I think we neglect our own self-care, and that's detrimental in the classroom. And then I think anything that we can do in our early learning environments to provide kids with more power and control, agency and autonomy over their days really helps. It's kind of a preventative.
That's a very important point, what you're saying. There should be all manner of choices for children that they can make. There should be big chunks of time for play, and we can be there with them. We don't have to go and sit and read a book while they're doing it. We can be there with them. We can be talking with them about what they're doing and saying and exploring, and we could be giving them stuff to make their play even more interesting and educational or whatever, mind expanding. There's lots of things we can do, you know. absolutely. That for I think that our center was very successful in that. They had so many options and so much time to explore and do things. And that we had, of course, all kinds of challenging issues, but nothing like what I see today or what I hear about today. I mean, some teachers are complaining because children just won't sit still. I mean, just think of that concept. They shouldn't be sitting still,
I mean,
period.
it's developmentally 100% developmentally inappropriate to expect a
Yes.
child who is trying to wire their sensory systems to be still. They need to be moving. And that child that you're trying to make be still is going to be an angry, aggressive child
For
because their
sure.
developmental, their physiological and cognitive needs aren't being met by the environment we're forcing them into. So it's I mean
What
it
do I
we're
do? This child won't sit still. What do I do? This child doesn't follow orders. I mean, just think of those expressions. It's like I stand there when teachers ask me that, and I want to say to them, "Are you kidding?" But you know, I don't, of course. You know, I very politely say, "Well, you know, children shouldn't be sitting still." You know, it's just an
I mean,
understanding of
if we
child
don't want
development.
kids acting aggressively and being aggravated or aggravating, maybe we need to create better environments for them to
Yes.
spend their times in.
I mean, we had what I call refugees from other centers, because some children were expelled. I mean, that went on, and I'm talking, Jeff, a year and a half or two and a half children expelled. If you think about it, it's just mind-blowing.
Oh, I've recently been doing a dive into program handbooks, and I was the number of them. I collected like 120 handbooks, and I've been going through them, and I would say well over 60% of them spend more time talking about their policy for expelling kids than they do about play.
You see what I'm saying?
I mean,
I'd get
it's.
these children, I'd put them in the classroom, and I wouldn't tell the teacher why they were there, that you know they've come, and we wouldn't have a problem. Period. I mean, I never those expelled children, we never saw that. After a while, I'd say, "You, by the way, they were expelled." What? Ah, the teachers
Why?
couldn't believe it, you know. But I allowed certain things like toddlers who bite, for example, sometimes. You know, I was brought up in Africa, and I had a nanny who carried me on her back, and I carried my son on my back a lot till he was five, I think, six maybe. Actually, in fact, there was one day I was carrying him up the hill to the town, and he was so heavy I just could hardly walk. And I said, you know, I think we're stopping this now. And but you know, it was from my culture and my way I'd be brought up. But so I my teachers would take a child who did quite a lot of biting and just put him on her back or her on her back. And I've got a few letters from parents who just loved it. And that biting would just calm down and stop. And that was a great way to shadow the child. And that child didn't feel like there was a bad child or anything. Because at two, they do quite a bit of biting. They don't know how else to express it, whatever it is.
And there's lots of reasons for it.
It's
Well,
always
let's.
it actually it always amuses me why biting is such an issue for teachers. I mean, why is it worse than throwing a block at somebody's head? I mean, I think it's also people are scared of sex because I say to people, you know, that some people who make love also bite, nibble each other. I mean, that's so. We seem to have some kind of
That's very true.
aversion to
Tasha's sitting on the other
biting.
side of the room with her headphones on, but I'll say that it's very true.
Had a
I'll tell
student
you
once
later.
take my.
Tamar's just talking about sex again.
I had a student once said he took my class because he knew I talked about sex.
Well, I mean, back in the day, the first time we had you on the show, I'm all nervous and everything, and 15 minutes later we're talking about sex. So that's why
Oh, I
that's
can't
why
believe
tomorrow's
it. Are you
back.
serious? Really?
What? Yeah, absolutely.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, don't be sorry.
Well, I mean, I think,
Hey.
we were probably talking about play, and I was saying that that's an adult
The
form of
sex of play.
playfulness.
Yeah, absolutely. That's
That's
exactly where it
probably what it
was.
was.
And it's 100% true. Let's draw this to close, but let's put a look. Next time Tamara and I are recording, Lisa Murphy has on our schedule to join us, and I've invited Heather Burnt Santee, that early childhood nerd. I don't know if she'll be able to find the time, but if they're with us, I'd like to. I thought maybe you mentioned time out. I thought maybe we could do an episode about
Yeah.
time out
Oh,
next
I would
time.
love that.
That's on. I've been collecting a list of ways time out is being rebranded in the in my dive into these handbooks. It's still time out, but they're
Of
calling
course.
it different things. So
Yeah.
we can dive into that next time.
Yeah.
Anything, any final thoughts before we wrap this episode up?
Well, actually, that timeout thing was, I have a chapter on self-regulation in my latest book that I like a lot. And I did talk a bit about it on a podcast with Heather, but I would like very much to talk about timeout. And
Yeah.
it's threaded through all this stuff with
Sure,
aggression and
absolutely.
feelings and stuff. So it's perfectly on target.
Hey, listeners, Tamar and I get together every once in a while to talk to people in the early learning profession about their early learning journeys, but we've ran out of people, apparently. Nobody's waiting in line to talk to us. So if you've got an early learning journey you'd like to share, you can contact me through the show notes. I'd love to hear from you. Otherwise, this has been the Child Care Bar and Grill, the world's longest running and most prolific early learning podcast that wants you to own your aggression and joy and all your strong emotions. We'll be back soon with another episode. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.